Let us turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The book of Hosea, the minor prophet in the Old Testament. The Bible says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn us, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Praise God. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of the message is Journey to Restoration. Praise God. Journey to Restoration. Rising up on the third day. Praise God. Rising up on the third day. When we look at this scripture carefully, you notice it is really speaking, in one sense, about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. This scripture basically is a prophecy with a twofold significance. One, for the people of those days who were backslidden, they were really far from God. But at the same time, it is spoken with prophetic power that finds its legitimacy in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Never forget, our Lord Jesus did mighty things, great things, but none is greater for us than his death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God. Amen. Yes, it is the most important thing that Jesus is God. No discussion. The Son is the everlasting Father. But what is the use if the Word was made flesh in Bethlehem? What is the use if he lived 33 years with us? He did mighty miracles if he would not have saved us by his death, burial, and resurrection. So, no matter what else we say about the power of our Lord on this earth, what he did, Jesus did not ask us to remember him walking on the Sea of Galilee, but he commanded us to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the only work of Jesus we are commanded to remember. Amen. His blood, the bread, they represent his death, his burial, and the resurrection. Hallelujah. He raised up Lazarus, but he never commanded us to remember that he raised up Lazarus. But he commanded us. It is a sin to forget, to take lightly the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you know the foundation of your faith? Do you know the foundation of your salvation? Do you know what has purchased you? Let us say the blood and the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood of the Father, the blood of God. Amen. The flesh of God. Praise Jesus. So, in a sense, the prophet is saying, 700 years ahead of time, let us return to our foundation, return to that power that delivers us from sin, return to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us say, come, let us return. Come. Let us return. Amen. Whatever you may have done, whatever sin, whatever evil thing, I'm here to tell you, as long as you know where to return to, say, come, let us return unto the Lord. We may forget how to go back to different places that we cherish, but may the Lord never allow us to forget the way back to Golgotha, the way back to the cross, the way back, hallelujah, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is where our salvation has been purchased. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. For 2,000 years, there is a timeless invitation that the sinner can hear from Golgotha, calling us to return unto the Lord. Praise God. Let us say, return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. Praise Jesus. Everyone is lost if they don't know the way to Golgotha. You may have a fantastic sense of orientation. You may be a person with incredible photographic memory. But if one does not know how to return the way back to Golgotha, then of all people, we are most miserable. But blessed are you. Blessed are we when we always can see the way back to Golgotha. It is always visible to us. It is always within touching distance. And we do not seek to go back to Golgotha alone. We want to take other people with us. Amen. It is good to go to Golgotha. It is good to go to the altar. But it's good to bring somebody with you. Praise Jesus. It is good to bring somebody with you. Many people did not want to have anything to do with Jesus of Nazareth. They heard about him. But strangely, when he was on the cross at Golgotha, many people who had nothing to do with him found themselves at Golgotha. You remember? Soldiers, Pharisees, Romans, Jews, criminals, Barabbas. Have you noticed that Golgotha brought everybody together to look at Jesus? They did not understand that the whole world belongs at the altar of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody was there. Pilate, Barabbas, Simon of Cyrene. People who had nothing in common. They all suddenly found they had one thing in common. They were looking at the death of Jesus Christ. The whole world must look at Jesus on the cross and give an answer. What shall we do with this man? What shall I do with Jesus of Nazareth? Either we say crucify him, or we say crucify him because he did bad things, or yes, crucify him because that is how my sins will be forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. But no one can say, release him. No one. He didn't come to be released. He came to give his life a ransom for many. So the judgment must be crucify him. But will it be crucify him because he will take my sins upon him? He is the Lamb of God. that I was told to behold 3 years before that time in at the River Jordan, when John the Baptist first introduced him. Did he not say when he first started his ministry, the Lamb of God? So why are you surprised now, 3 years later, he's being sacrificed? That's what he came for, to be a sacrifice for the whole world. That is why everybody was there. That's why they wrote in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Amen. Say, the death of Jesus Christ is the most international event in the history of the world and will ever be. I mean, there's no more international event. Praise God. Everyone must have a representative to observe the Lamb of God. His death is not for himself, it's for the world, for the nations of this earth. What will you do with Jesus of Nazareth? Praise God. Praise God. Everybody was looking at him. Everybody had an opinion about him. Some people came there, they loved him, but they were only waiting to take his body down from the cross. Some took his body there. Some discussed, was he good? Was he bad? Wait, maybe Elijah will come and save him. Nobody understood. But the prophet understood 700 years before. Come, let us return to our God. Hallelujah. Let us go back to Calvary. But what happens when we go back to Calvary? Actually, something very powerful happens. He will tear us. It says he had torn. Praise God. Praise God. When you go to the altar, you will be torn by Jesus. Praise God. Repentance, brothers and sisters, is the most violent spiritual event. What do I mean by that? You see, repentance is nothing less than the tearing away of the nature of Adam, of the flesh of Adam, of the world of Adam, the habits of Adam, the thoughts of Adam. It is a cataclysmic event. It's a violent event. Praise Jesus. Repentance is not what we think it is. The prophet said he had torn. Something will tear in you. The old world will be torn away. It's a violent happening. What do I mean by violent? You see, when Jacob wrestled with the angel represented God. It was a violent event. Jacob was repenting. He must have felt excruciating pain, even physically, when the angel touched his hip and the joint, his joint, his hip was dislocated. He had torn us. Praise God. Repentance, you feel a tearing in you. That's why the people of old used to tear their clothes and cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes. There is no real repentance unless there is a tearing in us. Why a tearing? Because when a person comes to Golgotha, when you see the violence inflicted upon Jesus, his blood, the lacerations on his body. That violence was supposed to have been inflicted upon us. How can we feel nothing? This is the wages of sin. This is the power of sin. And God was manifested in the flesh so that he would inflict himself with our sins. He was atoned for us. But we cannot just stand there and feel sorry for him, feel sorry for yourself, for myself. I must be the one to be torn. Otherwise, I have not understood what Jesus did. Praise Jesus. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name forever. Our God, whom we owe everything, once you understand what he did for you, you cannot leave him. You cannot not be thankful and serve him from now to eternity, praise God. All our sins were laid upon him. Whatever I was supposed to suffer in hell, Jesus suffered for me. That is why I am not going to hell, or you're not going to hell. Please remember, we are all supposed to go to hell because we are all sinners and we come short of the glory of God. So whatever punishments were waiting for me, Jesus took it upon himself. This should tear me. This should make me want to tear away the old world from our life. Is this why my Jesus had to suffer and die? I must hate what brutalized my Jesus, what traumatized my Lord Jesus. But can you not bring six legions of angels to save you? Yes. But then you will have to suffer these punishments in hell. And he did not want that for us. Praise God. Amen. There is no greater token evidence of the love of God for us than Golgotha. Praise Jesus. There is no greater. Hallelujah. If you ever doubt, if the devil comes and says Jesus doesn't love you, remember Golgotha. Remind him of Golgotha. He could only do what he did because he truly loved us with everything in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. He truly loves us. That's why the prophet says, come, let us. Let's not go alone back to Golgotha. Let us all go together. He died for all of us. It's the most international event. So many languages. It was written on the cross. But it will be painful. He will tear you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is not, repentance is not just feeling sorry for our mistakes. It is a radical reorientation of our hearts, our minds towards God. It's so radical that the world will know. Praise God. The world will know. They will see a difference. This man no longer blasphemes. This lady no longer commits adultery. This person no longer speaks dirty words. What's happened? They totally renounced alcohol and drug and whatever else drugs, as Bud is saying. Nobody should be taking drugs. But my point is, You know, when you are torn, when Jesus tears, trust me, the world will know. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't only leave marks, it gives you a new personality, a new body. Praise God. You put off the old man. Hallelujah. Put off. And you put on the new man. Now that is a violent event. If you doubt the violence of salvation, why do you think the Bible uses the language to be buried with Christ in baptism? It should shock people. It should shock our children. Mom, why do you want me to be buried? Am I supposed to die? What do you mean? Very violent language. Let's not sugarcoat it. It is true. Because sin deserves death in the eyes of God. But the gift of God, let's say the gift of God, amen, is eternal life through Christ Jesus. But the tearing, praise Jesus, the tearing, may Jesus tear us now and then. May he tear the old nature. Abraham physically felt the tearing of God when he was circumcised. Did I not tell you that salvation inflicts pain on the body? In the Old Testament, God allowed them to experience some of that pain. Today, as Christians, there's no real physical pain, but may the Lord help us to experience spiritual pain. When we repent, we should truly repent. There must be pain in the spirit. Hallelujah. Forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. Like the man who could not look up to heaven. He was on his knees and he smote his breast. He was in agony. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. That is the most blessed realization. The most wonderful revelation. When the day our children will fall on their knees, cry and say, Mom, Dad, I'm a sinner. Oh, blessed day. That day is worth more than 50 years in the university. That day is the greatest day in the life of your child. Hallelujah. When, through rays from heaven entering into their souls, their darkened souls, they realize, I'm a sinner. God has shown me. Jesus revealed to me that I am a sinner. I'm an enemy of the kingdom of God. Woe is me. There is no more beautiful revelation than this. We become so happy when our children crack the code of reading and writing. You smile, you're so happy. Oh, my child can read. Let me tell you, what is the point if our children can read and write and then go to hell? What a great day when our children crack the code of salvation and they learn the ABCs of salvation. And the first is to be torn by God, to know, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. What a revelation in Isaiah chapter 6. And I live in the midst of an unclean people. Ah, oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God give us this revelation. This is the most needed education in the world today. No school can give you this revelation. Only the school of heaven. May our children enroll in this school. May they graduate from this school. May the rays of heaven hit them and they realize, woe, woe is me, I'm a sinner. We cannot be afraid of being the enemies of the skates of this world now. They may or may not get you, but Jesus said, be not afraid of them who destroy the body and can do nothing more. I will show you who to be afraid of, he said. Hallelujah. Be afraid of him who, after he has destroyed the body, can destroy the soul also in hell. What would people do today if they understood they are the enemies of Jesus? We must pray, hallelujah. This is why we preach. This is why we record. This is why we try to reach out to people. Save yourselves from this perverse generation is what Peter said. Hallelujah. When we repent, we are faced with the knowledge that we have strayed from the ways of God. We have grieved him for so long. The longer it takes to repent, that the longer we test the patience of God. But the Bible says it gives us hope. Hallelujah. He had torn, but he will heal us. Somebody say he will heal us. How can Jesus heal somebody who has not been torn? You remember Peter? Peter was not torn for 3 years until the day he denied Jesus. And the Lord looked at him. When the cock crowed, Jesus, the very look of Jesus, when his eyes locked with Jesus, Jesus tore him with his gaze, with his look. That's all it took. Blessed gaze of Jesus. Jesus, look at us, Jesus. So we can weep bitterly. Look at us, Jesus, so we can weep. Hallelujah. That is all it took for Jesus to look at Peter. Oh, praise Jesus. When I saw Jesus in 1986, that's all it took for Jesus to look at me. That's why I'm still here. Amen. The look of Jesus, the gaze of Jesus is powerful. Amen. We're all naked before his. Our souls are naked before the gaze of Jesus, the look of Jesus. Let us say to him, look at me, Jesus. Look at me. Don't turn your eyes away from me, Jesus. Look at me. Look at my soul, Jesus. Tear me with your eyes, Jesus. That is what I need. Because when the world looks at you, when your mother, your father, your friends, brothers, sisters, when your teacher, the world, your admirers, their look is not the friend of your soul. It will cheat your soul. It will either comfort you or it will praise you. But the look of Jesus will tear us. And that is what we need. We need the look of Jesus so we can weep bitterly. Whenever I come to that place in the Bible, it says, I think it's the shortest verse in the Bible, and Peter wept. Every time I stop and I weep with Peter, I always weep with Peter. Praise God. Because I understand Peter. If you understand human nature, if you have lived long enough, you will weep in empathy with Peter and you will weep for yourself and you will repent. Oh, blessed Jesus. Tear me, Jesus. Say, tear me, Jesus. Let me tell you the most beautiful position Jesus can find you and I in is in repentance. When we are torn, when we demonstrate contrition, sackcloth and ashes. Forgive me, Jesus. This is something only the Spirit of Jesus can do. Trust me. Only Jesus can do. I've had preachers try to tell me, let's repent now. I found I couldn't repent when they say repent. Somebody says, let's repent at 5 o'clock. Excuse me. You cannot repent until you have to be tone. You can't say, let's be tone at 5 o'clock. We can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. You have to invite the Spirit of Jesus to come. Come, Jesus. Ah, I feel you now. That is why, while we all come to Golgotha, Jesus needs to look at each and every one of us. And then we will all be broken. We will be torn by the gaze of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. May Jesus tell us, come, let us return unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is hope. God is also the healer. Just as he tears, just as he circumcised Abraham and all of Israel, and they were in pain, he also heals. Hallelujah. He heals. Praise God. But let the mark of repentance be always there in our souls. Let us remember. James said, if you repent and you just go back and do the same things, it's like a man who looked in the mirror and forgot how he looked. No, no, no. May our brokenness shake our futures, reverberate into our future. Praise God. Once we acknowledge our sins, we open ourselves to God's restorative work in our lives. And this is why Peter began on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38 by saying, repent. Amen. Repent. Repent. Let us return back to the Lord. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. You have to tear away the flesh of Adam, the nature of Adam. Some people only remove the body of Adam. They're baptized in Jesus' name. But they did not remove the mind of Adam. They didn't remove the habits of Adam. May Jesus tear away the mind of Adam. Amen. If a man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Praise God. Why are we baptized in Jesus' name? Now God wants to heal us. The next step of the journey to restoration, say the journey to restoration, begins with going back to Golgotha. Jesus begged the apostles, can you not pray with me 1 hour? We were not able to. We left him alone. We couldn't seem to follow him in this journey of the death, burial, and resurrection. But nobody escapes. Once he rose up from the dead, all of them had to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, be resurrected, you see? They were not able at that time, but he has given us all grace today to go to Gethsemane. Say Gethsemane, I've been to Gethsemane. I'm not speaking physically. I'm speaking about being torn. Gethsemane is the place we are torn. What does Gethsemane mean? It's the place of crushing. See? The place where you are torn. It was the place where olives were crushed so that olive oil could come out, could ooze out from there. It was a press. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, let us return unto the Lord. He hath tone terrors, Jesus. We're in Gethsemane, Jesus. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. I'm speaking about the core of Christianity. I'm speaking about the ABCs of Christianity. Oh, hallelujah. It's not just something we have in the back of our heads and it's a ritual. No, we feel it. We return to the Lord. We are crushed again and again. Hallelujah. Have you finished repenting? Do you repent no more? Do we repent no more? Have you finished your journey? Because I find that my Christian life is again and again through Gethsemane, through Golgotha, hallelujah, and the resurrection. And then again I go to Gethsemane, and again I go to Golgotha, and again we go to the upper room. It never finishes until Jesus will come. Say, until Jesus will come, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. He will bind us up. Hosea says, bind us up. When you atone, you need to be bound up again. We go and get stitches from the doctor, isn't it? This is our baptism in Jesus' name, the death, the burial. When you come up out of the water, he has bound you up with his own body. Hallelujah. A new body. Praise Jesus. The healing, the restoration. Amen. Are you baptized in Jesus' name? Do you know what that means? This is how you leave this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Through baptism in Jesus' name. We die with Christ. A dead person is no longer on this earth. You're supposed to have left this earth. That is what Jesus meant by saying we are off this earth, but we are not of this earth. Praise God. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. You know, the other people who don't leave this earth when they die, they call them ghosts. Ghosts. I don't believe in them. I believe those ghosts are demons. If you rebuke them in Jesus' name, they will not be around. That's how you know they're demons. But who are the only other people who die and they don't leave the world? They're still in the world. It's Christians. Praise God. Because somebody said, you people say we die to Christ. So how are you still living in this world? We are not ghosts. Praise God. When we died, Christ gave us his body, a heavenly body. But we didn't leave to go to heaven. We are still here. But our spirits, hallelujah. Our flesh, new body, everything is heavenly. That's why it's not surprising when Jesus returns in a moment, say in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you surprised? We are already translated to heaven in a way. We are heavenly beings who are told to wait on the earth. Oh, beautiful. Hallelujah. Amen. We already belong to heaven. The Apostle Paul spoke like he often was in heaven. I know a man in Christ Jesus who 14 years ago was caught up to heaven. He saw things, he heard things, which is, it's not lawful for a man. Excuse me, are you not Saul of Tarsus? You see, humans want to place you in some place on this earth. Kumasi, The Hague, Oslo, Klofta, wherever you're joining us from, London. But we have to remind ourselves, I belong to heaven now. My citizenship is in heaven, Paul said. So what are you doing? Are you on transit? Yes, if you want to use that word, we are in transit. Have you seen people who are in transit? They keep looking at the time. Eh? They always go to the screen. Jesus said, watch and pray, Christian. You're in transit. Say, I'm on transit. You behave like, you know, a little while, a short while. You are watching the time and you are praying, praise God. Because we don't belong to this world. Hallelujah. Baptism in Jesus' name is where you are translated from this earth to heaven, your body, your flesh. Then the Spirit of God comes, praise God, and fills you, confirming that you are going to heaven. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of it. But when you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the earnest of the inheritance, the deposit, Ephesians 1:13. Hallelujah. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Through baptism we put on the righteousness of Christ, thereby binding ourselves to his covenant of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. When this happens, you come out of the water. You are no longer a captive of your past. Say, I'm no longer a captive of my past. We are reborn into a new identity. Praise God. The act of baptism represents a spiritual garment. It wraps us in God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Galatians 3:27 says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. Don't you want to put on Jesus Christ? Will you stop resisting the waters of baptism that are calling to you? If you reject water, then fire will engulf you in hell. It is better to go down in that water than to spend eternity in an unquenchable fire. That's why God has surrounded us by water. 70% of the earth is water. Do you not hear the voice of the water? The water has a voice. When I go to streams or rivers or the sea, I hear the voice of the water. And I thank Jesus for the voice of the water which has preached to me. Come, sinner. Come, bury the body of Adam, the nature of Adam, the nature of enmity against God. Come. Why will you wait? In my bosom, in my being, in the water, I have the body of Christ as a gift for you. Oh, hallelujah. People love to see scenes of the sunset, water. I love to hear the message of the water. Many years ago, in a place called Chennai in South India, I shared a message about baptism. The same message roughly that I'm sharing with you. These were people who were Trinitarians. They only baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. When they heard me speaking at length and in depth about baptism in Jesus' name, and I gave them a scripture from the book of Micah where it says that God has crushed the head of the serpent, Leviathan, in the water. And I said, you see, The devil doesn't want you to go down in the waters in Jesus' name, because he knows you will get the body of Christ. That is the mystery of water. Next, whenever you see water, remember this. The water has the greatest gift for you, the body of Jesus. But you are not receiving it if you are being baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you know, they were not happy with my message. There were no amens, no hallelujah. And then that night, one of the sisters had a very vivid dream which scared the living daylights out of her. She said, she called the pastor, Bishop Solomon. She said, I saw in the water, I saw water, and I wanted to go and be baptized in the water. But when I came near, there was this creature, serpent, which came out. Big snake. And he was angry. He doesn't want me to go down in the water. In Jesus. And she was crying. And she asked for baptism in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus confirmed the message. And they were baptized in Jesus' name. Let me put it this way, and let me say it again. The water has the greatest gift for you. Praise God. Go to the water. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Jesus chose to put his body, his gift, in the water. That's his choice. He's God. He decides. The greatest gift he has for you, a heavenly body with which you can live forever. A body which will never be sick, never know aches, pain. A body which no doctor will touch. A body which is as powerful as the most powerful angel. Don't you want that body? It is waiting for you in the water in Jesus' name. Praise God. This is a mystery of water. Hallelujah. If God were to open our eyes when people are being baptized, or if God could show you all the waters in the world and all the people being baptized, you will see people dying and new life coming out of the water all over the world, wherever people are being baptized in Jesus. Praise Jesus. Lord, open the eyes of this Gehazi, that he may see, hallelujah, amen. Praise. May we see spiritual things. The world wants you to see things that have no meaning. We know that. We don't need to talk about it. They want to bombard you with things that are earthly, fleshly, carnal. Make you immune and basically numb you. But the Lord says, be still and know that I'm the Lord, hallelujah. May he open your eyes to see heavenly things. Praise Jesus. And then we come to the last part. The prophet said he will come. Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, notice, smitten violence, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. Oh. After 2 days, how lonely was it when Jesus was in the grave? How silent, how silent. There was the greatest silence in heaven. Amen. You know, people who love attention, people who always have to do things in the sight of somebody in the world, they have a problem to die to themselves. But Christianity calls us to be buried. Let Adam die properly. To put it this way, amen. Make sure Adam is dead. That's why the Lord was 3 days and nights. Why? It's so nobody can say he fainted. You know, the swoon theory. He just fainted. No, 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 no. You're not in the grave for 3 days and you tell me you fainted for 3 days? Make sure Adam dies properly, a real death. Praise God. The soldiers should confirm he's dead. The women confirm he's dead. Praise God. And Jesus himself confirmed that he was dead. May the flesh really die. May our human natures or sinful natures really die. I wish all of us a good death in Adam, if you know what I mean. Rest in peace. We shouldn't even say rest in peace. No. Stay in the grave forever, Adam. Don't get up. Hallelujah. Buried with him in baptism, praise God. You know, only Jesus rose up with his same body. Nobody else rises up with their old body. We all rise up with a new body. Can you say amen? Somebody said, what's the difference between Jesus' resurrection and ours? It's simple. Only Jesus is the only person who rose up with his own body. Amen. Everyone else has to rise up with Jesus' body. The Word made flesh is given to us now. Praise God. Hallelujah. That means we put on Christ. We receive of his body. We do not become Christ. Amen. We receive that body. Can we wear the body of God? Yes, the Word of God. Remember what we said, the Word of God, when the Word was made flesh, he can make his, he is multiplying that body, if you know what I mean. We're all conformed to the image of the Son, you see? Praise God. So are these copies of his body? We are his sons and daughters. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so beautiful, the revelation. Yes, for me also. Can I also put on Christ, the Word made flesh? Can I get that body? Yes. Everybody who repents in Jesus' name and is baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. You put on that incorruptible word seed. Hallelujah. You know, today you look around at people, and we all have such different bodies, isn't it? Beginning with the skin color, and then you notice whether somebody's tall or short or whatever. I don't need to say anything more. And then we build all sorts of discrimination and nonsense based on that. Thank God in heaven there will be no discrimination. Thank God in heaven there will be no racism. Thank God in heaven because we will all put on Christ. Are you going to discriminate against? Oh, I got a better body of Christ than you have. God have mercy. No. We will all have that glorious. He will change our vile bodies to be conformed unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:21. You want equality? You want fraternity? You want liberty? The cry of the French Revolution? Sorry, mate. It's not going to be found on this earth. You need to put on Christ, you'll find it in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are inviting you to join this revolution, the revolution of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. You know, Christians are the original revolutionists. Even communists borrowed from us. You know, if you read the writings of Che Guevara, the Argentine surgeon who left Argentina. He joined Fidel Castro in overthrowing, the Batista regime, 1959, etc. Cuban Revolution, etc. He traveled. I mean, he just, incited communist revolution all over the world. Finally, He was killed in Bolivia. But when you read his writings, he traveled with a motorcycle throughout many countries in Latin America. He's written a lot. He was an educated surgeon, become an iconic figure. You know, that figure with him with his flowing hair, beard, a beret with a scar. Revolution. Viva la revolution, whatever. These kinds of people, they actually borrowed language from the Bible. He said, communism must also create a new man. You see, a new man. Where did you get this language from? He admitted from the Bible. So we are the original revolutionists. We need to continue with the revolution. Hallelujah. The revolution of salvation in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let me conclude. This is not a new message, but it's an important message. There's always a danger if Christians will go too far from their foundation. Then we begin to talk about all sorts of things, and our foundation, we won't even know when our foundation has been eroded and our foundation is dismantled. God have mercy. Amen. Say, my foundation will be strong. I will keep revisiting my foundation. Amen. We are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are preaching what the prophets and the apostles preached. Hallelujah. They are our foundation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. When the Lord was crucified, how disappointed the apostles were. They actually left the Lord totally disillusioned. They became disempowered. There was no one, there were no group of people more dejected and disappointed than the apostles. They were left in a state of fear, despair. They probably didn't even want to talk with each other. After 3 years of seeing such glorious things, and now we are supposed to pick up the pieces of our lives, go back to Galilee, go back to our families and say, forgive me, I made a mistake. We thought that it was he. You remember how it started? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We made a mistake. Forgive us. Sorry for abandoning you, my wife, for 3 years. My children, I'm so sorry. Can you imagine the kind of conversation, the kind of speech, the kind of shame, pain, stigma? Everybody in the neighborhood said, oh, Peter, you became so famous. Yeah? You raised dead people up from the dead while you were with your Jesus, walked on the Sea of Galilee. What happened? I think Peter probably didn't even want to see anybody. He probably was just fishing alone, fishing just to survive for his family. I don't want to talk about Jesus of Nazareth. I don't want to talk about all that happened. He wanted to forget everything. That is how death is, brothers and sisters. Amen. When you are dead, you are dead. Truly dead. The apostles did not know, but they were also, they experienced a death. A debt to everything, basically. They must have been dead in their feelings, in their spirit, in their memories. If you would have met Matthew at that time or Bartholomew, you would say, these are very depressed people. I fear for them. That is death. To not believe in who Jesus is death. To not believe in the prophets is death. It's depressing. May the Lord never allow us to stop believing in the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See how they spoke later. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Oh, hallelujah. Everybody began to believe in the prophets afterwards. When you believe in the prophets, you have power. You are the most optimistic person in the world. Son of man, can these bones live? Yes, hallelujah. Have the faith. Have faith in the prophets because they were prophesying in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. The opposite, brothers and sisters, is when you lose faith in the prophets, if you lose faith in the words of the Bible, you will not recognize yourself. You will become suicidal even. Because understand, faith is life. Faith is hope. Do you know that we are living by the power of the prophets and the apostles, the words which are anointed by Jesus are breathing into us. They, just as food gives you vitamins and nourishment, I am telling you, you are strong, you are happy, you are calm, you are peaceful, because the prophets and the apostles are breathing life into you through the Spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout hallelujah if you know what I'm talking about? In Jesus' name. Please, I'm not just talking. I'm speaking very powerful spiritual words to you. You are standing. Your mental health is good. Your spiritual health is good because you believe in the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The opposite is, see what happened to the apostles on the second day. If you had met Peter, James, and John on the second day, I'm telling you, you would become depressed. What happened to them? O ye slow of faith, slow of heart to believe the prophets. How many times did Jesus appeal to the prophets? Please say with me, I will always believe the prophet. I was telling Brother Victor, he was in my house today. We talked about many things. Said, we have to ask, what is God doing? What is the Bible? What did Zechariah say? Don't go far away from the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. Amen. Know where you are getting your oxygen supply from. Know where you are getting your heavenly vitamins from. Know who is keeping you buoyant in the storms of the seas of this life. Hallelujah. Say, it's my faith in Jesus' name. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have faith in Jesus Christ. I have faith. He died for my sins. He rose up on the third day. I have faith. God was manifested in the flesh. I have faith that he filled me with the Holy Ghost and gave me salvation. I have faith that he's coming back soon. Hallelujah. Do you just say this for the sake of saying it? No. I wish you could feel what I feel. I wish you could feel the power, the spirit that is making me speak like this. It's a living force. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Don't ever lose your faith. The world is not worthy, the Bible says, of Christians. I'm sorry, I'm not exaggerating. It's not to be arrogant. In the book of Hebrews, it said this world was not worthy of them. Not worthy of them. We pray for the world, but don't respect this world too much. Amen. Respect Jesus. Respect the prophets. Respect the apostles. Respect the word of God. Hallelujah. He is God who made it. He is God who does what he wants with it. Let me say, the apostles were in a state of confusion, mourning. They never intended to go back to Jerusalem. They didn't want to remember anything anymore. At least the women wanted to to take care of his body and put him back in the grave, isn't it? This is what happens if we lose our faith, brothers and sisters. If we don't have the hope of Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. After 38 years, I told somebody yesterday, I was speaking to a Somali lady and a Norwegian lady together, and I said, listen, I've been with Jesus 38 years of my life. I don't seem to know any other life except Jesus. I've come too far. I plan to go all the way to the end in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus has changed my thinking, my character, my hopes, everything. And so has he done with you. Thank God, there was breaking news from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You know, when people are dead, you need breaking news. Hallelujah, from Golgotha. Amen. There was breaking news from the kingdom of death. How about that? What? From the grave? What do you mean? Praise Jesus. Do you know our God spoke from the grave? Amen. Amen. Breaking news from the grave. Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. He destroyed death. He smashed the power of death. This is the breaking news from the graveyard. Can there come out good news from the graveyard, Brother Paul, the cemetery? I never received good news from the cemetery. Well, Jesus is giving you good news from the cemetery. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Some soldiers lost their job permanently because there is nothing to look after. Imagine somebody who looks after a graveyard. And everybody rises up from the dead. You don't have a job. Those are the only people Jesus made unemployed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the business of destroying death and all who do business with death. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure those soldiers would never again guard a graveyard, a tomb. Praise Jesus. Can you imagine getting the job, the most impossible job you get in the world, to make sure that Jesus Christ never rises from the dead? The devil gave them a terrible job. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of these. You know, I'm just reflecting. When you analyze things, revelations come. Oh, praise God. Jesus is good. He did not kill them. He didn't kill anybody who arrested him. He did not take revenge. Amen. He didn't take revenge. He came to save. He didn't come to hurt anybody. They hurt him. He already said beforehand, Father, forgive them. Don't you think those soldiers were scared? You know, we forget. Why do you think they're scared? Because they're thinking Jesus will take revenge now. Yeah? Every soldier who beat him, and Roman soldier, what do you think Pilate was doing? You think Pilate was drinking wine, enjoying himself? Pilate must have gone into a panic mode. Everybody who touched Jesus must have been shaking for dear life. He's going to kill me now. Did you listen to what the apostle, the prophet said? Listen to the prophet. He was stricken, smitten for our iniquities, our transgressions. Relax, Pilate. Jesus is not in the business of revenge. He's in the business of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm inviting you to reflect about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We can never exhaust it. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He told the Greeks, when I came amongst you, I wanted to know nothing else except what? Christ and him crucified. One of the smartest men in the world said it to the smart, so very smart people, the Greeks who gave us Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and all these great thinkers. He said, philosophers, I have no qualms, no shame in telling you. I didn't come here to Greece to discuss with you your Plato's and your the allegory of the cave. I didn't come to talk about the whether the earth is the world is eternal or not, as Aristotle did. I didn't come here to talk about Sophia, what is wisdom, as Socrates did. No, I have come to know and talk about only Christ and Him crucified. Praise Jesus. Say Christ and Him crucified. This is our business. This is what we want to talk about. Praise God. And then Jesus rose up. Oh, wow. Praise. Oh, blessed day. Oh, happy day. Amen. And we know long time ago, long before that, isn't it amazing? It's the same prophet, Hosea, who at the same time prophesies. You can see the man was speaking about Jesus. Did you know that? He said in the book of Hosea, if you turn with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 14. See, earlier he said, let us return to the Lord. He will, amen. He had torn, amen. He will heal, he will bind us on the second day, and then third day we rise. He's speaking about the gospel. And then he continues. Look at Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. You see? This is the gospel that he was preaching about, prophesying about. I will redeem them from death. Who are you? Who dares speak this way to the grave? His name is Jesus. He's God. He's the one God alone. Only he can speak in this way and say, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Praise God. See, the grave has power. Why? Because once we die in sin, it has power to keep us. And then he says, I will redeem. Why redeem? Because death has power over us because it purchased us, so to speak. Now we are the property of death. But Jesus came and paid the price. He told death, listen, I will give my flesh to you. And on this flesh, I will put all the sins of all the people who you are holding. And when that flesh comes into your bosom and you hold it for 3 days, the price is paid. Amen. The price is paid. 3 days, I will pay the price. Hallelujah. And then you have no power over me. I have ransomed them. Oh, death, I will be thy plagues. Why is he the plague of death? Because he destroys death in the end. I will be thy destruction. Do you know the most powerful and peaceful kingdom is the kingdom of death? Do you know how powerful the kingdom of death is? Who has destroyed the kingdom of death? Human beings are threatening each other with nuclear weapons. Are you going to destroy the graveyard with nuclear weapons? What will frighten death? Who can frighten death? What can frighten death? Do you know that even the most dangerous mafia boss, I call him Pharaoh, do you know the one thing he was afraid of? He's not afraid of anything. It was death. God knew. This guy is not afraid of anything. Frogs, frogs, flies, blood. But when death came, the most powerful criminal in the world, he realized, see, there is nothing more powerful in the world than death. And Jesus overcame death. Jesus destroyed death. Hallelujah. See? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. If you understand what I'm saying. Who threatened death? Will you go with a gun to the graveyard? Eh? Will you bribe death not to take you when your time comes? Who has bribed death? Will you send a mafia boss? Will you lob some grenades? Death is the most powerful thing ever until Jesus came and destroyed it. And now Jesus is the most powerful person ever. Oh, hallelujah. Why are we fearing death? Fear him whom death feared. You know, Satan, the demons, they work together with death. All these were oligarchs. These were mafia bosses. Amen. The devil wants to cheat us to look at other people. They are the criminals, mafia bosses, Al Capone, Scarface, etc. No, no, no. The real cabal, the mafia bosses, they are Satan, his demons, death, sin. This is the cabal of evil that we need to keep our eyes on. Jesus came, smashed. I will be thy destruction. Only God can speak this way to death. Praise Jesus. He overcame death. Praise God. He looked death in the eye. He allowed death to embrace him. And then he smashed death. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, people want to be with the big mafia boss, isn't it? The guy who, you know, you feel powerful. Listen, Jesus is the most powerful person in the universe. Be with him. And you have nothing to fear. Nobody to fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear Jesus. And then you don't need to fear anyone else. I once told somebody years ago, threatened my faith, that you will be killed for having left Islam. And I remember saying, listen, for people like me who already died and we rose up from the death with Jesus, we have no fear of death. We only fear Jesus. Amen. And I really mean that. I don't fear anybody. I don't fear nobody except Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to be delivered from fear of anybody else. It's not from God to fear anybody. If Jesus delivered you, if you died to Adam and you're going to live forever, it's a shame to fear anybody. We fear only Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for our faith. Thank God he raised us up the third day. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. To understand the fullness of this resurrection promise, we must recognize the agony of following Christ. If it is not a journey, it's not a journey sprinkled with ease and comfort. It requires profound sacrifice, willingness to endure hardships. We need to take up our cross. This is a radical reconfiguration of our priorities, desires, identity. Following Jesus means engaging in self-denial, challenging yet vital process of letting go of worldly attachments and sinful behavior. We need to really die in Christ. Only then can we experience a true resurrection. When God instructed Noah to build the ark, he called him to abandon the old world, steeped in sin. Noah obeyed. Noah was willing to leave the old world. Are we willing to leave with the old world? Despite the mockery, disbelief of those around him, the ark was the proof that he believed in the new world to come. Brother, sister, what is the proof that you believe in heaven? What is the proof that you believe in heaven? Can we see it, please? The proof that Noah believed in a new world was the ark. Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Through the flood, Noah experienced a complete cleansing of the old world, and he entered into what was symbolic of a coffin. coffin. He left the old world in a coffin and entered the new world in this coffin. Death, death to the world, death to the world will make you alive to Jesus. He entered a coffin, he left an old world where he heard bad things against God, and he entered a new world where there was nothing against God. One day we will leave this world and enter into a world where everybody loves Jesus. Everyone is filled with love for Jesus. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to surrender our former selves to God, embrace His will, and open ourselves to the beauty of restoration. Hallelujah. He said, in the third day, He will raise us up. We shall live in His sight. Praise God. Have you experienced the resurrection power of Jesus? Have the gates of Hades shaken under your feet when Jesus raised you up? Praise God. Hallelujah. Before I saw Jesus and came to faith in Christ, those who know my testimony, I used to often go into the graveyards because I really wanted to know, what is this power of death? Why does it take away people? What happens on the other side of death? But today, when I go into a graveyard, I go with a smile, with joy, because I have the answer now. Because Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of the grave. Jesus Christ went there and came out and took away its power. He redeemed us from the power of the grave. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? Praise God. In Jesus' name, I wish somebody listens carefully. I wish people in different parts of the world will listen to this podcast and understand there is no life. There is only death waiting. We all belong to death until you know who conquered death. His name is Jesus. May you find him. May you experience his tearing, his healing and binding, and his resurrection power in your life. Praise God. Believe that Jesus is the only God. There is no hope outside of him, no salvation outside of him. God is the truth. There is only one truth. He is one. Hallelujah. Whatever else we may say is a lie. God is one, indivisible. He has no co-workers, no co-committees, no consubstantiality, co-equal, co-known. There's no such language in the Bible. This is the language of blasphemy, the language of ignorance, the language of Greek philosophy. God is one, indivisibly one, and it's a sin to say that he is more than one. Moses was so angry, he smashed the Ten Commandments. He said, if these people don't believe in the first commandment, what's the use of giving them nine commandments more? A people who do not honor the first command, they do not deserve another nine commandments. This is what Moses was saying when he smashed the Ten Commandments. What's the point, my God? In other words, you may keep all the other commandments. You may keep the Sabbath holy. You may not covet your neighbor's substance. You may not do all of these other things. And yet, if you do not keep the first command, you are guilty of all. We don't deserve any of the others. Please don't say God is a Trinity. Please don't say things about God which grieve God. Because God himself said through Isaiah that He alone is God. He said, I know not any. Is there a God beside me? That question has been settled, Trinitarian. Nothing to discuss. He said, I know not any. Isaiah 44, verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I, listen, I, God is an I, not a Trinity. I told thee from that time, and I've declared it, you are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Trinitarians know something that God doesn't. They know that he's a Trinity, and God is saying, I don't know that. I know not any. Can we fear God? Can we have respect for the prophets and the apostles? Are you so bold to contradict Isaiah? Have you no fear of the Almighty? You must repent of this sin. I say with love, I'm not here to judge you. I'm only a preacher. I'm a minister. I am a witness. God, charge me as you just read. You are my witness. Speak, tell them. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. What God does not know, do not say, I know. It's a serious blasphemy. It's a blasphemy of the highest order. God is one. I'm speaking this way. I'm not speaking on behalf of an organization. I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody. I'm speaking on behalf of God. This is the truth according to the Bible, if you believe the Bible is the word of God. Reject and renounce the doctrine of the Trinity. Stay with me, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the God of Moses, the God of Isaiah. Do you not want to be in this company? Or do you want to be in the company of people whose names are Origen and Justin Martyr and Tertullian? Who are these people? Who are these people? God will say, I don't know them. He knows Isaiah. He knows Zechariah. He knows Jeremiah. He knows Moses. In the history of Christianity, I never heard anybody tell me, I saw Jesus and he told me to read Tertullian, or he told me to read Origen, or he told me to read Augustine, or he told me to read one of the early church fathers. Never have I heard this. Because our foundation is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. I heard people tell me that Jesus told me, the way Peter was saved, you will be saved. The way Paul was saved, you will be saved. His name is Bishop Tekle Mariam. He's gone to be with Jesus. I heard such things. But I've never heard Jesus talk about Greeks. God bless you, Greek people. But they are not the prophets and the apostles. Amen. Salvation is of the Jews, Jesus said. We have to respect that. Amen. We thank God for this message. I'm speaking to someone, maybe not today, maybe not this year even, maybe next year, maybe when Jesus takes me to go to heaven, and maybe if the world continues another 100 years, somebody will hear this message and say, this is the truth. I will be a Berean. I will open the Bible to see if these things are so. Because the name of the preacher is not important. What is important is the scripture that we are sharing with you. Amen. Let the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Praise God. Let the word of God be your meditation all day long, as David said. Hallelujah. Have no foundation except the word of God. May Jesus bless you abundantly. May you have confidence in the word of God. May the Bible be your treasure. May the salvation of Jesus be your foundation. Be your blessing. Be your hope. Be your joy. Be your glory. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, the brother whose glory is the gospel. What is your glory? Is it your intelligence? You will lose it one day. Is it your beauty, woman? You will lose it someday. Is it your strength, young man? You will lose it someday. I hope your glory is your salvation, because you will never lose it. Hallelujah. And I bless your salvation in Jesus' name. I bless all of your salvation in the name of Jesus. May you never lose it. May you grow from strength to strength. May you take pride in your salvation. And may you bring many people to salvation in Jesus' name. Because I want you to shine like the stars in the sky. Amen. Forever and ever. You see the star, how they shine? Forever. The stars never stop shining. You will never stop shining forever if you bring people to righteousness. Hallelujah. If you bring them to the knowledge of Jesus. Praise Jesus. Teach your children what to aspire towards, what they should dream about, what they should aim for. Don't let them be poor in their ambition. Jesus bless you. Let's just pray. We've taken enough time, but we can never say we've talked enough about Christ and Him crucified and His resurrection. Never in Jesus, never. If you go with, if we were to go to heaven today, what do you think they're talking about? What do you think the Spirit of Jesus is talking about on this earth? Say Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. The message for this earth is Christ and Him crucified. He took away our sins. Everybody should know this. Praise God. Trust in nothing else except the finished work of Calvary. Hallelujah. He saved you. He saved me. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for the journey of our restoration, Jesus. I thank you for your word, which has been shared with your people, which blesses our soul. We feel our hearts burning as they did on the road to Emmaus because you were with them. We know you are here. We feel your presence, the burning in our heart. This burning is unique. This is the hallmark. I mean, this is the proof of your presence. This is your signature. Only Jesus can make us feel the way we feel right now. This is your visiting card. Hallelujah. Jesus, we bless you. We could say so much more, but it's enough. We need to digest all of this. We just kiss your feet, Jesus. We kiss your feet because we love you, Jesus. You are dear. You are precious. No one like Jesus. Never has there been anyone like Jesus. I lift your name, Jesus. I bless you with all my heart, all my soul, Jesus. How wonderful you are, my God. Hallelujah. I lift you up. I lift you up with everything in me, Jesus. Everything in me, Jesus. Everything in me, Jesus. I praise you, my King. I praise you, my God. Holy up, holy up, holy up, thou Jesus. Blessed be your name forever and ever, Jesus. We lift you, we glorify you, Jesus. We adore you, my Master. Holy, 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 holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. The earth is filled with your glory. Hallelujah. Be praised today. Be magnified today. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How sweet your name, how sweet your love, how sweet your presence, my God. Rededicate your people. Sanctify your people with your blood, Jesus. Hold not their sins against them, O my Master, full of mercy. Save your people again, save me again, wash me with your blood again. Oh, my Master, I invoke that name, that the only name that death fears, the only name that destroyed the grave, the only name that is above every name, the only name before which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Oh, hallelujah. We bless that name. You deserve everything. Everything, Jesus. We honor you now. We praise you now. We love you now. Jesus, be exalted, be exalted, be exalted. Help us to know more about you, to see the length and breadth and height and depth of your love, Jesus. Praise God, that we may praise you more, live for you more. Hallelujah. Witness for you more. All this we pray in Jesus' mighty name, the name of Jesus alone. And the church says, Amen, amen, amen. Jesus bless you abundantly. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God next weekend. There will be no Saturday meeting here. Let me stop the recording first. The